السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وإذا مسه الشر كان يئوسا. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity on the day of Jumu'ah for gathering on this Mubarak occasion of performing Salatul Jumu'ah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of seeing many, many more Jumu'ahs. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He causes our life to end on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is a topic of adab, topic of respect, a topic that is very, very vast. A person generally, when people look at him, people see him, people interact with him, they're not too concerned about how much of money he's got in the bank account. They're not too concerned about how intellectually advanced this person is. They're not too concerned about how much knowledge he has of the world. But what people enjoy is the adab and respect that a person has in himself. When you're dealing with a person and he's got respect and he's got akhlaq and he's got mannerism and he's got good ways, then everyone enjoys to be in the company of such a person. Because adab and etiquette is like the spice in the food. Is like the sugar in the tea, is like the salt in the food. Take it out, you can have the best prepared food, but if there's no salt in the food, how does it taste? We don't enjoy it. So adab and respect is a thing like that. Such a beautiful thing. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that urfuqi ya Aisha. There was an animal, a camel that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, a camel that was given for sadaqah, it was an untamed camel. Now, untamed camel is very difficult to control, very difficult to keep. But that untamed camel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, urfuqi ya Aisha, go easy with this camel. Then don't be hard with this camel. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ الرِّفْقَةَ لَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Rifqa and this kindness and this compassion is such a thing that is not taken out from anything illa shanahu, except that it spoils it. And it's something that's not found in anything except that it beautifies it. It makes it beautiful. Take anything that's beautiful and add kindness, compassion, add some type of mercy in it and you'll see that thing becomes even more beautiful. Otherwise you can get the person that is the most handsome looking person, the most pleasant looking person outwardly. But if the person doesn't have kindness in him, doesn't have love in him, then what happens? Then that person, automatically people will stay away. They'll find it hard. He gets upset for small things and the person is getting upset for petty things. So people want to stay away from that type of person. But get a person who maybe not so good looking. He doesn't have so good features, etc. He's not such a wealthy person. But his style and his way is so nice that people feel comfortable to be in his company. Therefore we find our Akabir and our Buzurganuddin, people flong to be in their company. They're not so wealthy people. Not so much of wealth, etc. But they're displaying the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what people want to see. So this is adab, such an important thing. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this ayat of the Quran, which I have recited, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors men, then what happens? Allah Ta'ala is speaking about two extreme types of kuffar. That when they are favored, what happens? وَنَآ بِجَانِبِ. They turn away from the remembrance or making shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the favor that Allah Ta'ala has given them. They got it. One person had written to Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi, all of us are enjoying so many ni'mats, but how many times do we actually take out time to contemplate and appreciate these ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has given us? So one person had written to Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi with all types of complaints that I'm going through this problem and that problem and that problem. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali tells his satis that if anyone else had to answer this letter that I'm answering, they will give him, read this wazifa for this problem, read that wazifa for that problem, read that wazifa for that problem. But what reply did Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali give this person? He says, it seems like from all your complaints you have written here, that you are not enjoying one favor of Allah Ta'ala. It seems like that not one favor of Allah Ta'ala are you enjoying. Just reflect for a while the favor that Allah Ta'ala has given you of sight. You can see what a ni'mat that is. You can hear, what a ni'mat. You can think, you can talk, you can walk. What ni'mat you are enjoying. Think about that. And then he told this person as part of the prescription. He says that when you are making dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, make this dua that, oh Allah, through the sadaqah of the ni'mat that you have given me, accept my dua. And then see how your outlook will change. You won't only be looking at all your problems, you'll actually be happy with the favors that Allah Ta'ala has given us. It's just a mindset shift, that look at the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Therefore, a very easy prescription, a very important prescription for us to do, is every night before we sleep, that one thing we should do, is that think, whether we are doing it whilst lying in the bed, or whether we do it before we go into the bed, think for a while, all the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given me, I must make shukr. For Allah, you've given me a family, I'm making shukr. You've given me a roof over my head, there's so many people. Person just drives around at night, he'll see how many people are sleeping outside in the cold. Allah, you give me a roof over my head, you've given me food, you've given me children, you've given me iman, you've given me a community, you've given me children, you've given me parents, so many ni'mat. Person just has to think of all the ni'mat, and he thanks Allah Ta'ala for the ni'mat. And the next thing he should do, is he should think of all the gunas that he committed for the day. Every gunah that I committed, everything that I did wrong, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's too late to phone somebody and ask them for maaf, he doesn't. Next morning, first thing he does is ask the person for maaf. But the night he makes a niyat that I did somebody down, I did a wrong, immediately a person tries to rectify it. If it's possible to call the person and tell him that I'm asking you for forgiveness, immediately that person does it. If he does these two things, he makes ni'mah, he makes shukr for the ni'mahs every night, and he makes tawbah for the gunas, if he passes away in that condition in the night, he passes away as a clear person, he has cleared his account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if he happens to wake up, one of the benefits is, Allah ta'ala will cause this person to wake up fresh, energetic. Why? He's got a clean record with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the first part of the ayat, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَغُوسَ. And when any, the first thing is, when they are given ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, they don't make shukr for it. وَنَعَى بِجَانِبِ. They turn away from making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when any difficulty comes to them, كَانَ يَعُوسَى. They go into a depression. Why? Because they thought that we are making it happen. And now suddenly we're going through difficulties, we can't make it happen. They're going into a depression. But a mu'min on the other side, he thinks to himself, that if I'm going through difficulty, who is giving me this difficulty? It's Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. He's given me this difficulty. He knows why. He has made this difficulty come to me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with those that make sabr. Allah has given me an opportunity so that He can be with me. What more can I ask for? Then he thinks to himself that if Allah is with me, then Allah's rahmat is with me. Allah's shafqat is with me. Allah's muhabbat is with me. What more can I ask for when I'm going through this condition? So a Muslim doesn't go through any type of depression. He's happy with every condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Then the last part of the ayat which I have recited, قُلْ كُلُّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that every person acts according to his temperament, acts according to his mizaj, acts according to his thinking, the way this person is thinking, the way his temperament is. Allah ta'ala is saying, قُلْ كُلُّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِ. فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala knows that who is doing the best of actions. That Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of. Person is trying, he's making an effort. He doesn't need to advertise it. He doesn't need to put it on Facebook. He doesn't need to put it on Telegram, WhatsApp, nothing. But Allah is aware. He knows who is doing the best. I'm doing it for him. That's enough. I don't need to tell anybody. Sometimes a person goes for Umrah and then he'll send a message that Alhamdulillah, I made so many tawafs and I made so many Hajjas and I made so many umrahs, was not realizing that Allah Ta'ala has recorded. Why do I need to tell people? I slaughtered so many bulls this year and I did so much this and so much of charity, and let me take one photo and show the people all the charity work I've done. We're actually destroying our good deeds. There's no need to advertise it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. And then what Allah Ta'ala is saying, Allah first he says, "Kul kullu ya'malu ala shakilati." Everyone is acting according to his disposition, he's acting according to his temperament, he's acting according to his thinking. And now ulama explain that there are approximately four things that affect our temperament. There are four things that affect our thinking. The first thing that affects our thinking is the mahol, is that environment we are in. If we choose a good environment, then our thinking also will be shaped accordingly. If our environment are with people that think differently, we will also start thinking differently. Look, now the comrades are coming. How many females, Muslim females, are participating in the comrades? And think nothing of it. Why? Because they're moving in that type of circle, that mahol, that environment, where other ladies are also going to be running on the road and running on the street, and we think nothing of it. But where a person is in a good company, in good environment, in the right places, then a person's thinking changes. So the first thing is the mahol and the environment that the person is. The next thing that affects a person's thinking is the media. Social media, other types of media. This affects a person's thinking, the way he thinks, the way he perceives, the way he behaves. I'll just give you a few examples so that we can understand. Before we come, we'll complete this last. We'll go through the other forms. One is the education that the person receives. This is the third thing, the education that the person receives. Now, according to his education that he's receiving, that is the way he thinks. Unfortunately, this Western or secular education, in fact, the word secular, what does it mean? It means education without any spiritual connection, without any religious connection. That is what's the meaning of secular education. Pure secular education is only one side. Take out religion from there, take out God from there. Only bring those things that are to do with this world. Person is being pumped all the time. His mind is beginning to think that everything I'm living for this dunya, I'm dying for this dunya, my whole life is for the dunya. Whatever I can do, it must only be for the dunya. Sometimes we are being so pumped up by this. So this is also affecting our temperament. The next thing that affects a person's temperament is this media, as we spoke about. I'll just explain a little bit more how this affects us, and in such a way it affects us that we don't even realize it, and sometimes it affects us very, very dangerously. Allah Ta'ala save us, but it's something that is so dangerous. So this, we said, was the fourth type. The third type is riwaj and rusum. Riwaj and rusum is certain types of customs that happen in our community. There's a nikah taking place. Okay, so in a few days before, we need to have one mehndi session. We need to have one bridal shower. We need to call all the family the whole week before. This got nothing to do with nikah. But because it is a riwaj and a rusum, it is a custom that is taking place. This is the third thing that affects us. And the last thing, fourth thing, as I was explaining, is this media and the social media, how it affects us. Unfortunately, we all don't have that type of digestive system that we can digest everything. Sometimes we read something and it sounds so appealing, and we think that this is right and we want to apply it in every sphere of life, not realizing that it's actually causing us to go against nusus. Nusus means Quran and Hadith. It's actually asking us and teaching us to go again. I'll give one example. We all may have heard people will post and people will say that don't judge. Don't judge, Allah is the judge. It sounds so nice, but yet it is so dangerous. I'll explain to you how dangerous it is. One ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen." O you who believe, fear Allah and stay with righteous company. Now I ask you, a person doesn't judge. Allah Ta'ala is telling him, you choose righteous company. You judge who is righteous and you stay with them. Is it possible to make amal on the ayat of the Quran? Another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. After you have become aware that people are transgressing, they are doing wrong, then you don't stay with that company, you move away. فَلَا تَقْعُدْ, don't sit with them, don't remain with them. Now, if a person just reads this, that don't judge, it's impossible to even make, to even practice upon the ayat of the Quran. Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi." That any one of you sees a wrong taking place, amr is, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam is saying it with a command, al-amru lil wujub. It is a command to us that you, if in a position to change it, change it. But now a person just read somewhere that don't judge. Anything he sees now, he says, this must be right, I'm not in a position to judge. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, you saw wrong taking place, you should be doing something to change it. For example, two people are fighting outside for a parking. So now what a person who is in a position, he should change it with his hands. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي. If you can't do that much, and at least with your tongue, try and change the condition. And if you can't do that, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِي. Change it with your heart. In other words, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, these things that are taking place, change it, O Allah. So the person is crying from his heart. But now a person just reads one thing, they don't judge. What will happen? He'll actually neglect the various ayat of the Quran. Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, and he quotes in Muslim Sharif, this riwayat is, that Nabi alayhi salatu, that he's mentioning now, he's quoting, he said, inna hadha al-ilma deen, that this knowledge that you're getting, this is your deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. Profile, check, see, be careful, who you're taking your deen from. But now what we have got something in our head that we can't judge, we can't even make amal of who we are taking our deen from. You see how confusing it gets? Yeah. Somebody comes, proposal for our daughter. We have thought, we read on the WhatsApp, now media which is shaping our mind, we have read on the WhatsApp what it's saying, don't judge. So a man is coming to propose for our daughter, what we say, don't judge. We'll give our daughter to any person. Now is this the right thing to do? Deen wants us at that time to judge, and we are doing it all the time. A person comes with 100,000 rand credit, he wants to buy goods from us, what do we do? We ask and we do a credit rating on him, we'll do a credit check on him, we'll check so much. But when it comes to our deen, then we want to take something and we do something so dangerous. So how is it possible to even make amal on the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we just read one statement on the WhatsApp? Yes, there is a place for it, that when it comes to people's internal conditions, the internal conditions which we can't see. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu so nicely says, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ الْمُتَوَلِّي بِالسَّرَائِرِ. That as far as the outward is concerned, we give judgment accordingly. What we see on the outside, that is how we judge. وَاللَّهُ الْمُتَوَلِّي بِالسَّرَائِرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what the internal condition of a person is. That we don't know. So there is a place and a time for everything. I'll just terminate with one more example of how dangerous it is just to read something on social media. Sometimes we'll read that we must not be rigid. A Muslim is not rigid. But yet there are times when a Muslim has to be firm on deen. He has to be rigid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, two Sahaba, this incident is mentioned in the Kitabs of Hadith, famous incident, that what had happened was that the Jews, they would stay away from their wives when their wives had haze. When their wives were in the condition of menstruation, they stayed away from their wives. So what they would do, how they would stay away, they wouldn't eat with them, they wouldn't drink with them, they wouldn't even keep them in the home. And they wouldn't have any type of relationship with them, physical relation, nothing. They wouldn't even keep them in the home. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about this. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. That they ask you as far as the woman in haze are concerned, tell them, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. I won't give the whole explanation, there's no time, but don't go close to them. In other words, don't have any type of relationship with them until they become pure, because this is something that is filthy, this is something that is dirty. So there was two Sahaba that had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these two Sahaba came and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Usaid ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu, they just came and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that afala nunkihuhunna. Or they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَلَا نُنْكِحُهُنَّ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us oppose these Jews completely. In other words, the niyat was right. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to oppose the Jews. Their niyat was right. They said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, let us oppose them and let us allow us to have relationship with the Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion got so upset. It comes in the hadith, فَتَمَعَّرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِمَا. That we actually thought, Sahaba saying that we actually thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset with these two Sahaba. So when they went away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gifted some milk. All they had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَلَا نُنْكِحُهُنَّ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. Oh Rasul, can we have relationship with our wives so that we are opposing them? Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very upset. Unfortunately, if me and you were there, what we would have read the social media, that how rigid, how hard, intolerant, wa na'udhu billah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a simple question was asked and he's getting upset. And he's getting upset, yes, for a very valid reason, that these people are asking something that is going against Quran Sharif. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had got upset. So then when the gift had come of some milk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for these two sahaba and he gave this milk to them, that these, to show that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not upset with them. Sahaba said, فَظَنَنَّ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَجِدَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Then we knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not upset with them. One sahabi comes and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كَيْفَ تَصُومُ. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'll finish on this now inshallah, this last hadith, just so that we understand how dangerous it is. كَيْفَ تَصُومُ. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how do you fast? What was the question? How do you fast? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got extremely upset. فَغَضِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. So Rasulullah got very upset. فَلَمَّا رَآ ذَلِكَ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ When Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ saw this, he said, رَضِيْنَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا صلى الله عليه وسلم نعوذ بالله من غضب الله ومن غضب رسوله فلم يزل عمر يرددها حتى سكن غضب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu began to saying, O Rasulullah, we are happy with Allah as our Rabb. We are happy with you as our Nabi. We are happy with Islam as our Deen. And we seeking refuge from the anger of Allah Ta'ala. We seek refuge from the anger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept saying this until the anger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam subsided. What we learn from this? One simple question was asked, Kayfa tasumu? How do you fast? The question was wrong, so therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got upset. It teaches us what was wrong about the question was that he shouldn't be asking how do you fast. He should ask how should we fast. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was different, so the question was just wrong. But it was a time for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get upset. He got upset. So therefore, when we use and we read these things, it changes our mindset, and we start thinking that those people that are even saying the right things also are saying the wrong things. There's a time for a person to get upset. There's a time for a person to be kind and smiling. There's a time for everything. This is all part of adab. This is all part of etiquette. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The last part to finish off. What should we do when we're in a situation like this? فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ We should move away. Ulama explained, three things happen when we don't leave this bad company. If we're in that social media, or we're in that mahol, a wrong company, or if we're in a situation where sin is taking place, evil is taking place, those rusum and those riwaj, those practices are taking place. If we don't leave, then three things will happen. The first stage is taraddud. A person will see the wrong taking place, and then he won't feel right about it, but he'll remain there. This is the person that does wrong and he remains there. The second phase, ulama explained, is he'll become complacent. The wrong will be taking place. It won't affect him. It won't hurt him. He's not saying anything. He'll be complacent. And the third phase or the third stage is the person will join those people in the wrong that is taking place. May Allah Ta'ala save us that we know these things are wrong. We should try and come out of those groups where evil is taking place, sin is taking place, videos are taking place, photography is taking place, ill is being spoken. We should be in those places where the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious company of the pious are there, and we should save ourselves from all times of fitna and sin. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Kul kullu ya'malu ala shakilati. Everyone is acting according to his disposition, he's acting according to his temperament, he's acting according to his thinking. And now ulama explain that there are approximately four things that affect our temperament. There are four things that affect our thinking. The first thing that affects our thinking is the mahol, is that environment we are in. If we choose a good environment, then our thinking also will be shaped accordingly. If our environment are with people that think differently, we will also start thinking differently. Look, now the comrades are coming. How many females, Muslim females, are participating in the comrades? And think nothing of it. Why? Because they're moving in that type of circle, that mahol, that environment, where other ladies are also going to be running on the road and running on the street, and we think nothing of it. But where a person is in a good company, in good environment, in the right places, then a person's thinking changes. So the first thing is the mahol and the environment that a person is. The next thing that affects a person's thinking is the media. Social media, other types of media. This affects a person's thinking, the way he thinks, the way he perceives, the way he behaves. I'll just give you a few examples so that we can understand. Before we come, we'll complete this last. We'll go through the other forms. One is the education that the person receives. This is the third thing, the education that the person receives. Now, according to his education that he's receiving, that is the way he thinks. Unfortunately, this Western or secular education, in fact, the word secular, what does it mean? It means education without any spiritual connection, without any religious connection. That is what's the meaning of secular education. Pure secular education is only one side. Take out religion from there, take out God from there. Only bring those things that are to do with this world. Person is being pumped all the time. His mind is beginning to think that everything I'm living for this dunya, I'm dying for this dunya, my whole life is for the dunya. Whatever I can do, it must only be for the dunya. Sometimes we are being so pumped up by this. So this is also affecting our temperament. The next thing that affects a person's temperament is this media, as we spoke about. I'll just explain a little bit more how this affects us, and in such a way it affects us that we don't even realize it, and sometimes it affects us very, very dangerously. Allah Ta'ala save us, but it's something that is so dangerous. So this we said was the fourth type. The third type is riwaj and rusum. Riwaj and rusum is certain types of customs that happen in our community. There's a nikah taking place. Okay, so in a few days before, we need to have one mehndi session. We need to have one bridal shower. We need to call all the family the whole week before. This got nothing to do with nikah. But because it is a riwaj and a rusum, it is a custom that is taking place. This is the third thing that affects us. And the last thing, fourth thing, as I was explaining, is this media and the social media, how it affects us. Unfortunately, we all don't have that type of digestive system that we can digest everything. Sometimes we read something and it sounds so appealing and we think that this is right and we want to apply it in every sphere of life, not realizing that it's actually causing us to go against nusus. Nusus means Quran and Hadith. It's actually asking us and teaching us to go again. I'll give one example. We all may have heard people will post and people will say that don't judge. Don't judge. Allah is the judge. It sounds so nice, but yet it is so dangerous. I'll explain to you how dangerous it is. One ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. O you who believe, fear Allah and stay with righteous company. Now I ask you, a person doesn't judge. Allah Ta'ala is telling him, you choose righteous company. You judge who is righteous and you stay with them. Is it possible to make amal on the ayat of the Quran? Another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. After you have become aware that people are transgressing, they are doing wrong, then you don't stay with that company, you move away. فَلَا تَقْعُدْ, don't sit with them, don't remain with them. Now, if a person just reads this, that don't judge, it's impossible to even make, to even practice upon the ayat of the Quran. Hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi. That any one of you sees a wrong taking place, amar is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying it with a command, al amru lil wujub. It is a command to us that you, if you're in a position to change it, change it. But now a person just read somewhere that don't judge. Anything he sees now, he says, this must be right. I'm not in a position to judge. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you saw wrong taking place. You should be doing something to change it. For example, two people are fighting outside for a parking. So now what person who is in a position, if he should change it with his hand. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي. If you can't do that much, and at least with your tongue, try and change the condition. And if you can't do that, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِي. Change it with your heart. In other words, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, these things that are taking place, change it, O Allah. So a person is crying from his heart. But now a person just reads one thing, they don't judge. What will happen? He'll actually neglect the various ayat of the Quran. Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, and he quotes in Muslim Sharif, this riwayat is, that Nabi thing, he said, inna hadha al-ilma deen, that this knowledge that you're getting, this is your deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. Profile, check, see, be careful, who you're taking your deen from. But now what we have got something in our head that we can't judge. We can't even make amal of who we are taking our deen from. You see how confusing it gets? Somebody comes, proposal for our daughter. We have thought, we read on the WhatsApp now, media which is shaping our mind. We have read on the WhatsApp what it's saying. Don't judge. So a man is coming to propose for our daughter. What we say, don't judge. We'll give our daughter to any person. Now is this the right thing to do? Deen wants us at that time to judge. And we are doing it all the time. A person comes with 100,000 rand credit. He wants to buy goods from us. What do we do? We ask and we do a credit rating on him. We'll do a credit check on him. We'll check so much. But when it comes to our deen, then we want to take something and we do something so dangerous. So how is it possible to even make amal on the ayat of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if we just read one statement on the WhatsApp? Yes, there is a place for it, that when it comes to people's internal conditions, the internal conditions when we can't see, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالظَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ الْمُتَوَلِّي بِالسَّرَائِرِ. That as far as the outward is concerned, we give judgment accordingly. What we see on the outside, that is how we judge. وَاللَّهُ الْمُتَوَلِّي بِالسَّرَائِرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what the internal condition of a person is. That we don't know. So there is a place and a time for everything. I'll just terminate with one more example of how dangerous it is. Just to read something on social media. Sometimes we'll read that we must not be rigid. A Muslim is not rigid. But yet there are times when a Muslim has to be firm on deen. He has to be rigid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, two Sahaba, this incident is mentioned in the Kitabs of Hadith, famous incident, that what had happened was that the Jews, they would stay away from their wives when their wives had haze, when their wives were in the condition of menstruation, they stayed away from their wives. So what they would do, how they would stay away, they wouldn't eat with them, they wouldn't drink with them, they wouldn't even keep them in the home. And they wouldn't have any type of relationship with them, physical relation, nothing. They wouldn't even keep them in the home. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about this. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَنْ فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ That they ask you as far as the woman in haze are concerned, tell them فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ I won't give the whole explanation, there's no time, but don't go close to them. In other words, don't have any type of relationship with them until they become pure, because this is something that is filthy, this is something that is dirty. So there was two sahaba that had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these two sahaba came and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abbad ibn Bishr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Usaid ibn Hudayr radiyallahu anhu, they just came and they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that afala nunkihuhunna, or they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam afala nunkihuhunna fil mahidi, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let us oppose these Jews completely. In other words, the niyat was right. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to oppose the Jews. Their niyat was right. They said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, let us oppose them and let us allow us to have relationship with Jews. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on that occasion got so upset. It comes in the hadith. It comes in the hadith. فَتَمَعْعَرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِمَا That we actually thought, Sahaba is saying that we actually thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was very upset with these two Sahaba. So when they went away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was gifted some milk. All they had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَفَلَا نُنْكِحُهُنَّ فِي الْمَحِيدِ Oh Rasul, can we have relationship with our wives so that we are opposing them? Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became very upset. Unfortunately, if me and you were there, what we would have read the social media, that how rigid, how hard, intolerant, wa na'udhu billah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a simple question was asked and he's getting upset. And he's getting upset, yes, for a very valid reason, that these people are asking something that is going against Quran Sharif. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had got upset. So then when the gift had come of some milk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for these two sahaba and he gave this milk to them, that these to show that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not upset with them. Sahaba said, فَظَنَنَّ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَجِدَ عَلَيْهِمَا Then we knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was not upset with them. One sahabi comes and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كَيْفَ تَسُومُ Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'll finish on this now inshallah, this last hadith, just so that we understand how dangerous it is. كَيْفَ تَسُومُ Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how do you fast? What was the question? How do you fast? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam got extremely upset. فَغَضِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam مِنْ قَوْلِهِ So Rasulullah got very upset. فَلَمَّا رَآ ذَلِكَ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ When Umar رضي الله عنه saw this, he said, رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا صلى الله عليه وسلم نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ غَضَبِ رَسُولِهِ فَلَمْ يَزَلْ عُمَرْ يُرَدِّدُهَا حَتَّى سَكَنَ غَضَبُ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu began to say, Oh Rasulullah, we are happy with Allah as our Rabb. We are happy with you as our Nabi. We are happy with Islam as our Deen. And we are seeking refuge from the anger of Allah Ta'ala. We seek refuge from the anger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept saying this until the anger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam subsided. What we learn from this? One simple question was asked, كيف تصوموا? How do you fast? The question was wrong, so therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. It teaches us, what was wrong about the question, was that he shouldn't be asking how do you fast, he should ask how should we fast. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was different. So the question was just wrong, but it was a time for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get upset, he got upset. So therefore, when we use and we read these things, it changes our mindset, and we start thinking that those people that are even saying the right things also are saying the wrong things. There's a time for a person to get upset. There's a time for a person to be kind and smiling. There's a time for everything. This is all part of adab. This is all part of etiquette. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The last part to finish off. What should we do when we're in a situation like this? فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ We should move away. Ulama explained, three things happen when we don't leave this bad company. If we're in that social media, or we're in that mahol, a wrong company, or if we're in a situation where sin is taking place, evil is taking place, those rusum and those riwaj, those practices are taking place. If we don't leave, then three things will happen. The first stage is taraddud. A person will see the wrong taking place and then he won't feel right about it, but he'll remain there. This is the person that does wrong and he remains there. The second phase, ulama explained, is he'll become complacent. The wrong will be taking place, it won't affect him, it won't hurt him, he's not saying anything, he'll be complacent. And the third phase or the third stage is the person will join those people in the wrong that is taking place. May Allah Ta'ala save us, that we know these things are wrong. We should try and come out of those groups where evil is taking place, sin is taking place, videos are taking place, photography is taking place, ill is being spoken. We should be in those places where the the pious company of the pious are there, and we should save ourselves from all times of fitna and sin. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.